This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Good morning, kia ora, and welcome to Free Left Turn, a left wing perspective here on Free FM 89.0. Excuse me, sorry. Independent community media. Good morning, Fred.
Oh, you're right.
Yes.
Something stuck in my throat.
Verbal.
Too much licking on myself.
Told you need a haircut.
Oh, is this the centre look coming in, eh?
Are you the community centre at work?
No. He's the mystery object.
Oh, okay.
Yes. We work's going to have a Christmas do where we work, hopefully in the new building.
Okay, is that close, is it?
Yeah, 19th of December is the Christmas party.
Oh, very good. Very good. Speaking of new buildings, I see the, although we've potted it a few times, the regional, what's it called, the Regional Concert...
Performing Arts Centre
is just about there.
It's all looking very flash on the outside.
Yep, all the fences are down.
All the fences are down and removed.
Okay.
Must be finishing interior stuff.
Well, I think the opening's the...
19th of January.
Yeah, it's very close. So, you know, and there won't be a lot, you know, they'll have to be all organised before
they're
that.
Certainly done a lot. The building does look striking, it does look pretty good.
Oh, the facade.
But it's come up huge cost.
And I say, to me, they are good for societies and communities to have. It's just how they're paid for and where they fit in, you know?
If it's a need or a want.
But I'm all for the art. You know, anything that helps a community like music and arts and flowers and...
The environment, you mean,
environment. You know, there's lots of things that actually, if you didn't have them, you'd realise just how bereft of anything, you know?
It would be pretty bleak.
Sterile is the word, probably, I think.
So I haven't had my invitation for the opening day yet, but I imagine it'll be in the mail.
Now you bought yourself a corporate book?
No. I wonder if they are selling them. I suppose they are.
Yeah, it's probably the highest.
You have to get the right money for them, that's all.
Highest bidder, I'd say.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to see what the final bill is for this. It was projected as something like 70 mil.
And just remember, if it's a corporate box it's paid for...
Us.
I imagine we, the people, are subsidising if it's a business that's bought it. You know?
Yeah, but will you be allowed to sit in it?
Well...
We won't be able to afford to get in there.
Hey, the decent, generous minds of the elite, I'm sure they'll... I'm sure they'll bring some peasants in to sit with them.
Yes, well, yeah.
See how the other half live.
Yeah. They're just ordinary people. Worked hard for their money.
Some of that debatable
comment. It's not April the 1st, sorry. Can move on.
Debatable comment, mate, right there and there. Yeah. I found one positive.
Wow.
Yeah, one positive. Well, kind of positive. You know this Education and Training Act law change, which school boards would no longer adhere to the treaty or to Tiriti? Well... 1,007 school boards will definitely adhere to it.
They're still going to stay with it.
Yeah. So basically giving this to Sleazemore and the Hobson's Pledge.
Well, they obviously don't see it as an issue. You know?
Yeah, it's not an issue.
No. And it should be. Let's face it.
And will they be able to do that? Or will the minister come down and say, no, you've got to do what I've said?
No, basically the put the pressure on the minister over this whole issue.
Well, what the do is it? Am I fair to say what it will be is if you don't want to do it, you don't have to.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Right. Which isn't good for division of a country because then all the rural white schools, etc., could well drop them. It'll be interesting where these schools come from.
Mm. Yeah, well, I looked at the original list and it was, I think it was the person behind this campaign is a person called Tanya Waikato.
Okay.
And she put a list of these schools and I looked through and scrolled through and see, is any of my old schools there? Is it? Oh, no.
Yeah. So some of the schools won't be going near it. But yeah, no, let's face it, the treaty is, you know, warts and all, it basically allowed, and many Māori might regret it, but the treaty allowed migration. It basically allowed another people to come in and govern.
Well, it'd be considered a founding document.
Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah,
of course it is. And, you know, then, of course, the real problem with the treaty is then, once the people that came in got their numbers up, they started changing it. Changed the laws to suit themselves.
Show their true colours.
Yeah, which is a colonisation.
And exploitation.
Yeah.
I don't know who's actually driving the anti part of it. If it's a conglomerate of people, including Sleazemore.
I don't like calling them bad names, but
they're bad people.
Well, undesirable.
Let's face it. We all should remember to try and play the ball, not the player. You know. Don't think of him as my favourite politician.
I don't think about him at all.
Yeah, no.
I think about other things when it comes to him.
Yeah.
The IRA had a good idea. Yeah.
He's got plenty of
support, right?
He's got plenty of support in the National Party. He's just out on his own.
Yeah,
you know?
Well.
Yeah.
And then you have this crowd called Hobson's Pledge, who are definitely anti-Indigenous rights.
Yeah.
And in the picture.
Yeah.
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 And I suspect that this network's very, very close behind.
Yeah. Well, it got past that law on the not having to do the treaty stuff in schools got passed in Parliament.
Yeah,
so
but schools have decided we're not going to.
Well, some.
1,007.
How many schools are there in the country?
Don't know, but 1,007 looks like a big number.
Yeah, but it's probably quite a few when you think about it. That's primary and secondary.
Yeah, it's a mix of primary and secondary. Yeah.
Intermediate. How many schools in Hamilton?
God knows. Haven't counted them.
No idea.
Because you've got to think of state school.
They don't really register on my radar anymore.
You haven't
done for about 50-odd years.
Haven't they? Yeah.
You've got state schools, immersion.
Charter.
Yeah, we know.
So-called private-public schools.
Yeah, and then there's schools for the disabled and those with mental disabilities.
But carrying on your theme about them, well, not so much treaty, there was a piece in the paper, generally, the Whangmatar Council, some guy on Christian values objected to a karakia being offered at the beginning of the meeting, which lasted about 2 minutes, maybe. Just you object him. He walked
2 minutes
out.
Of 2 minutes of his time.
Yeah.
And even though he's
and he claimed he was doing it on Christian ground, and he felt uncomfortable. And I thought, well,
does he not realise that karakia is a prayer?
Yeah, and they gave a translation. It was more or less about general goodwill and
of course that brief,
long those.
Yeah.
Well, okay. You don't have to do it. You can just sit there quietly and just let them get on with it.
Yeah.
All done.
And you can say your own prayer in your head if you want.
I just thought.
Yeah.
He claimed to be a Christian, and he's so intolerant of other people's slight bent on.
Well, it's not slight. It's just
the wording.
It's
maybe
customary.
Or a slightly different focus.
So people uptight. So it wasn't Don Brash, was it?
No.
Sounds like the sort of thing you'd do.
I think the guy's name was. I think his surname was Evans. He's on part of the council.
Yeah.
He walked out for the 2 minutes, then came. And then they did a karakia at the end. So you would have got out and walked. And thinking, what's your problem?
Yeah. They should lock the door.
And I imagine a point in the article that if it had been a Muslim, given a Muslim,
I suspect it'd be the same reaction.
Thinking, what's the problem? But,
yeah. So let's face it, a prayer or
prayer is usually hope for the better, you know, wishing good fortune on everyone involved in whatever they're doing.
Of course.
And it's just general benevolence. It's not a political statement.
It's like a funeral. You have a tangi hanga or, you know, whatever you say. The purpose of a funeral is to say goodbye.
And
it doesn't matter what it's called or how you do it.
People have slightly different ways, but for the same thing.
So
what's the problem?
Farewell the dead.
I just don't get it.
Yeah, and it made them paper, didn't it?
Half a page.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
This is news. This is news. I mean,
Yeah. Never mind. You could have handled it better. And I say you don't have to.
No, you can just sit there quietly, just get on with it. You don't have to interfere. You don't have to object or
I
go to a church. People are Christian. The people get up for a bit. I'll stand up.
Yeah, of course.
And I just stand there and wait till people's finished.
Yeah.
It's a
when in Rome, do what the Romans do.
Because I'm just there, like a few. I've gone to pay my respects. I don't have to go along with other people.
Or the Christian service if you don't want to.
I'm just stand back and let them get on with it and carry on.
A co-martyr said to the whole audience, he said, look, while we're having this prayer, if you want, you can, if you don't want, pray to the God, you know, Christian God, just pray or think about what you want to think about. That's what it's about.
So you just stand in respect and just keep...
Yeah. Cool. So they blew that out to some major news almost day.
Half a bloody page. Oh. This is ridiculous. He didn't warrant half a page of attention.
That's what it is. It's an attention thing. Oh, they just focus on that. Feeds into that.
Narrow-minded.
Bigotry.
Which is, that's the pity when it's... You know, I always thought...
With all the problems going on the world, we should be getting together, not finding reasons to have a go at each other. Well, we should be cooperating, surely.
And I was sort of brought up, maybe naively, that the Christian ethos was love thy neighbour, be respectful, you know, don't steal.
Treat people as you want to be treated yourself. Mutual respect.
You don't
always have to agree, but you can at least agree to disagree.
And most religions are like that. It's human interpretation that sends it skewer. Of all religions, often, you know.
Yeah. It's caused enough trouble in the past as it is.
Without that sort of nonsense, we've heard those.
Well, it's good you found a positive, because I was struggling this week.
I thought to see the school standing up to that.
Good.
Good. Yeah, and somebody had done their work around approaching...
What was the person's name? Tanya...
Yeah, Tanya Waikato. Okay.
Well, good honour for...
I've heard of her before, actually. Yeah,
well, good honour for making the effort to do a bit of research
And these schools said, no, I'm not doing that. And schools have questioned Stanford about this whole thing. So, And then that's feeding into the journalist narrative.
Are schools free... I mean, I know they've got to abide by the curriculum, but do they have any leeway in their interpretation of... curriculum? I mean, do they have some autonomy about what they can and can't?
I think they have been questioning it. I think some people are not quite happy with it.
What's the real issue is, what do the kids think? You know, what's the impression they get?
Yeah.
Where some will be told, stuff the treaty from schools, basically, and others will be told, no, the treaty is important. That message
It's going to reinforce that
just rattles down, doesn't it? That's the dangerous thing that we need to be thinking about.
Reinforce the polarisation.
That's the problem.
Instead of just saying, look, the treaty is part of our founding document. That's how...
End of.
End of.
Remember under the last government, they talked about history and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I think that kind of thing...
That's part of it,
I think. That's part of it.
Yeah, I think that's been shunted aside.
Yeah. And we need to
what
understand.
Are you afraid of?
Yeah, just be open about it. Okay, New Zealand was colonised. Tragic. And it was awful. You know, there was a lot of things wrong. And there was land theft, there was coercion, there was all sorts of things. And it didn't just apply to Māori, but we shouldn't be afraid of what happened. We should actually talk about it. We know that's how it formed. That's why. And I think if there was more understanding of amongst what I call adults about what happened and how it happened, they might not be as so racist as they are.
Perhaps they don't want to do it because...
Well, they don't want to know a lot of them.
Because if they're afraid that if they get to know the true history, they might have to, we might have to pay compensation.
Or they can't unsee. Yeah.
It comes back to your comment about I earned my money. It comes back to that part of that too.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that was
coming. Well, and it comes like back to country Canada. You know, the farms have all been in the farm family for 100 years. No one talks about, and before that. And before that, how did the land get acquired? You know, in all honesty, they might, their ancestors might have done it semi-legitimately. When I say semi, they bought it legitimately off whoever was selling it, but how did that person get it? So, you know.
At the barrel of the gun,
So, no, I just the past is the past, and you shouldn't hide the past. You just should discuss it. You don't have to get tangled up too much in it, but have to know about it and understand.
Learning about the past is hopefully you can avoid making the same mistakes.
Yeah.
But I don't think we do.
No.
Especially when we hide
it. It's convenient to ignore that and then you just carry on as business as usual.
So do schools in the confiscation areas.
So they have no conscience.
No.
You don't have to worry about the nitty-gritty and human rights or
whatever. That's what I'd like to know, is that the schools in the confiscated areas, and there was huge tracts of New Zealand, fertile land. Did those schools go, well, we really need to tell our people,
what used to be here.
Why this is all farmed and the old Pākehā farmers,
definitely.
And it's not a fault on the Pākehā farmer as such, but how the land changed hands, etc., is needed to be known,
Maybe it's just afraid of litigation or something, right? Retrospective litigation or something. That's the only thing that explains why people are so polarised.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're afraid that if they admit to something or knowing something, that might leave them open to.
They don't want to know. And so, but they say this. You hear the comment. Well, that's beautiful farmland. And so, who's on it? Doesn't seem to be many Māori land owners left.
The old Country Canada program just picked those ones up, though.
Yeah, it does. And there's some, of course. There was mixed marriage. There was a lot of mixed marriages. So there are quite a few Pākehā farmers, for want of a better word, who do have a link to Māoridom through an ancestor.
And
there used to be a thing that. Some European, call them Pākehā, but the European would actually marry a Māori woman who had access to land.
That old chestnut.
And I imagine that happened in the UK.
A marriage convenience to acquire property.
That probably has happened in all sort of cultures and societies.
Marry into and then acquire some property.
Yeah. And of course, some of them, it was you marry into that family, then you as the male got the rights to the property. I don't know, was that in the UK or England? The
women didn't have any rights.
They were just
chattels and convenient means of marrying families together for political reasons.
Probably didn't marry the mill worker though.
No, why would you?
No,
in those days.
They wouldn't even know.
Why would they bother?
Yeah.
They just take what they want.
Yeah.
Or whoever they want.
Yeah, so they mingle in the club.
Yeah, it's all about reinforcing the club.
Yeah.
Status quo.
Did you see the news this week about, it comes out of Australia, it's kind of a positive, where the state of Victoria has recognised Indigenous rights.
Okay.
Yeah, and that they believe that could actually be followed by South Australia, New South Wales, and possibly Tasmania.
This is big news, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, it came out that there was an arrangement signed between the Premier of the State of Victoria and the head of the sort of Indigenous rights there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think this has come out of
they had that referendum.
Yeah. But they believe that the states are probably like Queensland, Western Australia, and Northern Territory will not follow that because I think even though
the Northern Territory has got a large indigenous population,
Arnhem Land, so that's it was sort of shunted in the middle of the news this week, so something quite
well. Australia's on that journey that. New Zealand basically has travelled. We're ahead of them on that because we had a treaty. Whereas Australia was Territorius Nullius, what is it, Annulus, you know, had, didn't have no one there. They decided that legally there was no one owned Australia.
So what, what carries on from this then?
Well, I was actually about to wait and see, I think.
So yeah. they signed
an agreement, yeah.
Agreement.
Yeah. Right, so it's like a form of reconciliation, is it?
Could almost be, but it sounds like a step in the right direction.
Well, you do see that now in Australia, and you've seen it for several years, that when there's a game on or something, they acknowledge the local people and they've sort of, you know, they've made steps in certain places in Australia.
Yeah, when they watch the highlights of an Australian rugby game,
yeah,
the commentator will mention they mention the name of the
local people.
Local people, yeah.
Right. And let's face it, Aboriginal Australians have been there for not 500 years, not 1,000 years. They've been there
millennia,
20,000 years or something. It's a long time, haven't it? They've been there forever.
There was another thing, and this connects to sport and Indigenous Australians, is that the team that played the English, the cricket,
right,
selected two people who have an Indigenous background.
Yeah,
but then you look, read all the comments and down the fact, oh, they don't look like Aborigines to me.
Yeah, well, that's that. Yeah,
white is white stuff.
Yeah,
it's down to genes.
Yes, yeah.
Blood groups.
Yeah, yeah, but one of them definitely has the features of
Aboriginal.
Yeah, definitely.
You can pick it up
straight away.
That's
down to genes, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, people got some strange ideas, eh?
Yeah, about that, yeah. So I thought that was a good thing.
Sounds encouraging. I'd be interested to see how this develops, politically, you know, socially.
But I have a sneaking suspicion that in this country we're trying to reverse our Indigenous rights.
Oh, definitely. Definitely under the current three Tory Patriot government.
The Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
Cruel circus, or another better word for it.
And I say, for just instead, not for any real reason apart from sort of ignorance, really, and a bit of underlying racism, you know? Why else? You know, wouldn't you want to feel. For Benny, who's poor and he happens to be Māori, wouldn't you want Benny to have a chance as well? Mm. You know? But, you know, we've got to keep them in their place, you know?
Regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was...
You don't want them getting uppity.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was a Treaty Principles Bill. It was to wind it all back.
Mm. Yeah.
And there was drivers behind that.
Yeah.
Including the so-called Leader of ACT.
Yeah.
And Atlas Network, and I suspect Hobson's Pledge is another one behind all that. Yeah.
We're underlying, we still have problems with race. Mm. We saw that in the local elections, you know, on the Māori wards. Fortunately, Hamilton voted to get the Māori wards, but lots of areas didn't.
Yeah. It's a tragedy, because when things are going on in the world today, we really need to be pulling together.
Yeah.
Cooperate.
Yeah.
But no, we seem to be becoming more and more polarised.
Well, that's the word, polarised, because, you know, you live in an area and I say it's not much fun.
And somewhere's exploiting that and making a heap of money out of it.
Yeah.
And you know what the rationale was behind the Treaty Principle Bill was to get the hands on Indigenous land.
What's left of it,
minerals, I suppose.
There's
been, let's say, you go back into since the treaty. What's most of the legislation been about? Was how to extract land, Māori lands, etc., from Māori into the hands of settlers. Yeah. You know,
exactly.
There was
right.
a lot of that.
So I suspect that was what the bill was all about.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have you got there, Mick? And I see that it is the fairy one, isn't it? and it's not this one either.
You can read upside down.
Well done, you.
The headline, this is in Thursday's Times, headline reads, "Replacing Cook Strait ferries to cost $1.86 billion. And the subheading underneath that is, "Winston Peter announces $600 million deal with Chinese shipyard." So... Yes, so the article says that, $600 million to pay to Chinese shipbuilders, and the grand cost of 1.86. And Rail Minister Peters was at Centreport in Wellington yesterday, so that would have been Wednesday, to confirm details of a renewed ferry replacement. The total cost of replacing the Kiwi Rail into Iron Ferries will now be 1.86, with the central government contribution being less than the 1.7 it had allocated for the project. Two ferries will come online in 2029 thanks to a $596 million fixed price contract between Ferry Holdings and the Chinese Zhangzhou shipyard. And Kiwi Rail said the final cost for the cancelled IREX project was $671 million, including $222 million in payments to the previous South Korean Hyundai Mipo shipbuilders. Adding this sunk the cost to the new project. Total means the overall cost of replacement of the ferries would reach 2.5, near the estimated 2.6 cost of IREX when it was cancelled by Finance Minister Nicola Willis in December 23. However, both Peters and Willis have claimed, citing a Treasury estimate, that the IREX project would have blown out at $4 billion. So they're now claiming that they've saved the taxpayers $2.3 billion, and they haven't factored in that they're going to have to upgrade the central Wellington port facilities. Yeah, so it's going to work out almost the same,
if not more.
And it's not rail enabled.
These two diesel electric rail enabled ferries, 200 metres long, 28 metres wide. They will have 11 decks, increased capacity compared with the existing ferries, accommodating over 1,500 passengers, 2.4 kilometres of lanes for trucks and 40 rail wagons.
One of the clear questions that stands out for me compared with both deals was that the IREX deal was long term to build ferries that would be suitable for the Cook Strait, which is quite rugged.
Yeah.
And the Koreans would know about this because of the crossings there.
Yeah.
Is this particular brand going to be satisfactory for that environment?
It's cheap and necessarily good.
That's what I'm saying.
It said that the funding spent on port side infrastructure would be recovered over the life of the new ferries through port fees paid by Kiwi Rail. So money's been shuffled backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
And the new ferries, we expected to build sufficient reserves, expected to buy new ferries again in 30 years. So in 30 years' time, we're going to do the whole process.
Isn't that kicking the can down the road?
All over again.
Yeah.
So you just add the cost. What do you do to that cost? And when you look at the IREX deal, it was going to be a long term, say 100 years.
50 years.
It may have gone even longer. Yeah. You don't know.
Well, the port loadings and all that, they expect it to be forever sort of thing.
That's 100 years vision. Yeah. So you have to add to this cost the replacement ferries in 30 years' time as a compared to the IREX deal.
And plus the impact on the roads with increased trucks.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's
so it's kind of sleight of hand.
And short-term vision.
Because, myopic. Let's face it, if there's not many places for some rail wagons, stuff that goes onto trucks into the ferries, is that going to come off the trucks and go back onto the rail? I doubt it.
No.
So then there's the road depth.
Because you're wasting time and money.
Money. Yeah. So then that's more hardship on the roads, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
so if you look, was this actually looked at as a holistic comparison? I don't think it is.
Well, it was just a knee-jerk reaction from Nicola from the Nats about Labor. Electioneering.
Yeah.
But why can't we have why can't we have some 100-year vision? Why can't we have some 50-year vision?
They cost too much for the country. But what you're doing really is, as you said, pushing the can down the road, and it's going to cost the population of the future a lot more than what it is now. It's just stupid.
Yeah.
So watch this space.
Watch this space.
So we've got to wait. The existing ferries have got to last till 2029.
And we've got to keep them. They'll cost. There's quite a.
The expense of keeping those going.
Running for an extra couple of years.
What I liked was when the TV1 reporter questioned Peters about the IREX deal and the bailout.
Yeah.
It's just got the perfect vision of an angry old man shouting at clouds.
Yeah.
So he didn't actually answer the question, he just ranted and raved.
Ranted and raved, and
let's face it, when there is this sort of what you'd call this huge expense that's been spent without anything actually happening sort of thing, then why? That's what you expect reporters
to do. That's their job.
To ask the question and that's perfectly brings us into this situation with Trump and Bin Salman. When that reporter questioned Bin Salman about Khashoggi, she was doing her bloody job.
But then
Trump indulged in childish name calling and saying Khashoggi basically said written all these bad things and without any bloody evidence. I like it particularly when that reporter questions. He's questioned Peters before, and he just gets into this real surly, angry man look.
Yeah, and he doesn't answer the question. He just rants. Rambles
on and on and on. He was a part of the government, the Labor government, the first that coalition government. That stopped the capital gains tax.
It was him.
Yeah. It was him. They voted against it.
Yeah.
That's why I never went ahead. That's why nickname him Handbrake.
Handbrake.
He puts a handbrake on things.
And the other thing was caught news was the corruption scandal in Ukraine.
Some
money went missing, and it seems that the Ukrainian energy minister Svetlana Grinchuk, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, and Justice Minister German Galushchenko over the scandal. $100 million.
Yeah.
Kickbacks from contracts signed by state nuclear energy company Ergo Atom.
Okay.
So they've got some problems there, right, in Ukraine.
Yeah.
I mean, this confirms most people's suspicions that...
Well, before the...
Corruption in Ukraine?
Before the Russian-Ukrainian war, Ukrainian was the most corrupt country, I think, you know. It had, the stats were Ukraine had the biggest problem with corruption.
They've had other episodes of shocking behaviour and money sort of disappearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
$100 million. I mean, if you're going to do the crime, you might as well go for the big boy, big time.
$100 million.
But it doesn't help Ukraine's image.
The Europeans are going to, what the hell's going on? We're putting all this money into Ukraine and some of it's been siphoned off.
Well, and the West is trying to sell us that we need to support Ukraine, rightly or wrongly.
So this is undermining the war effort.
Yeah, but of course it does. You know, it's like saying, well, yeah, you give that, you know, do that. It's like giving $20 to the blind charity.
And then
they see it going off spent on something that's not about that, it doesn't make you want to give good. Again.
So, and of course the slaughter carries on in the Ukraine. I mean, the Russians claim they're not hitting civilian targets, but civilian targets are
being hit. Yeah, they say
both sides are guilty of it. But now they're saying the Russian owned holds 20% of those former eastern territory. Areas.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, and the slaughter continues. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be some peace deal, isn't there?
There was only between Trump and Putin.
Yeah.
Which
the Ukrainians were left out of the negotiations.
Well, now they've given what the Yanks and the Russians have come up with to Ukraine, to Zelensky.
I don't think Ukraine is going to be pleased with what's been offered.
Your real problem is you've got Ukraine basically is, okay, it's got a big history for forever, like Europe, etc. But of course, the east of Ukraine, where the fighting and dying and destruction is in general, is where the Russian speakers were, the civilians etc. Of course, now, of course, with the war, there's been ethnic cleansing almost people wanting to go. Who wants to stay in a village when it's been bombed and fought over? Mm. So how do you, the way to sort it would have been to have a referendum, which the Russians did have one early on, but what should have, the West should have actually said, well, why don't we have a UN
controlled referendum.
Sponsored yeah,
but in the US, we don't do that.
We'll abide by it.
And we'll be right behind you. You need a footnote.
Yeah, but the West didn't want to because they were so fixated on getting NATO weapons to Russia's border by the sounds of it, you know?
So, and then, of course, Biden goes, and then you've got Trump, and he's trying to pull out.
Yeah. But let's face it. And if you're if you're fighting for either a Russian soldier or a Ukrainian soldier, you're doing the dying or the being maimed or disfigured or whatever. And meanwhile, it's the children of the rich on both sides
who are not involved,
and mummy and daddy and grandpa are just looking at their share portfolio of weapons manufacturing, going, "Wow, look how much my shares are worth now. Look how much money we've made."
Yeah,
and that's the tragedy. It's the peasants who are doing the dying and the bleeding.
It's always been the case.
Yeah. I like
the
to
elite, the elites start the war and the peasants get to fight it.
Now, you might know this, is that apparently the leaders used to be up until a certain time in history, the leaders used to be at the front of the armies.
From the front.
And then it's changed and it's never gone back.
Go on, chaps, we're right behind it.
Yeah, it's like General Haig, you know, the old Blackadder. Yeah. General Haig wants to attack.
Once upon a leader's prowess or his mana
was his fighting ability.
Was his fight ability, and he'd lead from the front.
Yeah.
He'd lead by example.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. I listened on YouTube. I'm a history buff. I follow battles. And the battle I'm thinking of is Blenheim. It was basically the Spanish succession. What they were doing was they didn't want Louis the 14th of France's brother to be king of Spain.
Right.
So England was on the side of the Austrians in that army, but it was John Churchill, Duke of Marlborough. He was at the forefront of that battle.
Did it change? Is there a rough time when it changed?
I'm not too sure when it changed. We know that Duke of Wellington was at Waterloo, and that's 1815.
But they were gradually standing on the hill behind after a while, which you sort of understand.
Okay, the charge of the Light Brigade. I think it was Raglan, wasn't it? He charged at the charge.
Was he on a horse?
He was in the charge of it,
So. I think the battles got so big that the commanders had to have some area where they could observe the whole.
Yeah, which probably has happened.
Put certain units into play.
But wasn't General Haig, you know, who was the guy in the First World War?
Douglas Haig,
And he used to make jokes. Oh, he's, you know, yes, he'll be in the fight 80 miles behind the front, you know, in some chalet drinking wine, you know.
It's hard to really gauge when that sort of thing changed because you hear of the old leader being killed in battle.
You do hear of leaders who, when they weren't leaders, who were just good fighters or whatever you call it. And I'm not a warmonger at all, but, okay, they've got the reputation of being a good fighter and then become the general or the super general or whatever they call it.
I think some of them are near the front, aren't they? I think even Kitchener, when he was in the field, he was at the front.
Mm.
Yeah.
Some did.
Well, only in the Second World War, the odd general got... Well, and the Germans lost lots of generals, and so the odd general, some general Okinawa, he led for the Yanks, and he got killed just right near the end, you know, the last second day of the Japs surrendered.
I think even Freiburg for here was he was near the front line too.
I'm not sure when the trend changed from being in front to
just being
at the back.
But what
is scary, of course, New Zealand's the same, but America, of course, you get high up in the military, then you give up that career and you just walk into a board ship, been on the board of one of the military weapons companies. So you can see how tied up the military industrial complex. These guys, it's just revolving door. You stand up, you just sport in all the wars, all the military stuff, aid, and you can have a seat at the table. Disturbing, say the least.
Maybe the trend didn't go. Maybe there were generals who led from the front.
Mm.
Maybe just a perception, because Haig was such a brutal, cold-blooded character that he was 15 miles down at the chalet while the soldiers were getting massacred, but there may have been others who are right there or thereabouts. Yeah.
And you would have had what do you call, you know, the captains and all that could have well been from the landed gentry, etc. They weren't necessarily the first son who's going to inherit the estate, but they were of the family. Mm. They probably had that sort of thing going on.
Yeah, well, I think the Churchill family was well high up there anyway. Because he became the Duke of Marlborough.
Yeah, Blenheim Palace.
Yeah, Blenheim Palace. Yeah. So yeah, but he would have possibly had come from a family that was probably well heeled.
Because it's a nice reward. Have you seen photographs of Blenheim Palace? It's huge.
Is it?
Yeah. Enormous.
Yeah.
That's where little Winnie used to Christmas.
I think he was born there.
He was. Yeah.
His America, his US mother, I think she was
born. Yeah, she was American.
Yeah. And his father was full of syphilis, apparently.
Mm,
yeah.
Lovely. Mm,
nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and we turn our attention to Gaza and it continues.
Yeah, the ceasefire seems to be a ceasefire from one side, and the other side are still just.
And there's no objection. Hang on a minute, you had a ceasefire. Why are you still
killing people?
Yeah. And they've also been lobbing shells into Lebanon.
Well, and killing people there, you know. They've not. They're not helping themselves, I'm afraid. They've just Israel is, as I've said,
and America seems to be going along with it. The West seems to be going along.
There's a lot of disquiet in America, which is only is really starting to bubble
you're talking
now.
You're talking about this guy.
Well, I'm talking about the America First.
Yeah, and what's the name?
Nick Ferrantes is.
Oh, he's the Hitler tribute act, isn't he?
Well, I think so. I'm sure of it. Yeah,
Stalin and Hitler and
all too fresh moustache and.
Yeah, but he's very sharp, and his message is pretty on point. His popularity is just exploded.
Because he's asked. We talked about this. You know, he's promoting the question. Why you claim to be America First, but he's talking about the Jewish community and then
he's basically
having loyalties to Israel.
Saying to American Jews, are you here for America? You can say, are you here for America, you're here for Israel. Make up your mind, you know.
So it's gaining some traction.
It's gaining a lot of traction. Watch this place. He might hope he doesn't get taken out, regardless of some of his, you know, he's quite misogynistic and he's a white supremacist. But as I said, you know, he's a white supremacist. He's dealing with Jew supremacists. But it's creating a big discussion in America, which is a good thing, because and this is big names in the community, once you couldn't talk about Israel. It was just a subject you didn't go near. You supported Israel, but you never talked about what they were doing.
Yeah.
Whereas he's broken that up. So, interesting.
Yeah, because the first time I heard of his name, he was a visitor to Mar-a-Lago.
I'm sure that's the guy I'm thinking
of. But he's had a go at Trump. He's not, he was a Trumper. You know, he started off and he was a Trumper and he believed in Trump because Trump, and Trump's was all about make America great again. But then what this guy Fiantes is saying and his friends and his movement is saying, but Trump's then bent the knee. He's bent over for Israel.
Yeah.
And what are we doing that for? What about America First? And so he's certainly gained a lot of traction. Watch this space, you know? And he's also made the call for people on the left. He said, look, you know, if you're against genocide, it doesn't matter if you're left or right. We need to put America first. And that's gaining traction.
Wow, I'm surprised.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So he's appealing to the left.
He's appealing to the left as well. And some on the left are going, hang on a minute, don't agree with his misogyny, don't agree with the supremacy and all this. But he makes a point there. So it could be
interesting times.
Big.
Yeah, they also had the that vote, didn't they? Government's back. Was it government shut down?
Yeah.
No, government's now back on.
It's back on. And they're saying they shut down for 45 days and there was no...
They gained absolutely nothing.
Very little. A promise of a vote.
Yeah, those eight Democrats crossed the floor.
Yeah, and this is what Fiantes is having to go just recently. He does a daily show and he's not allowed to... He's been deplatformed from just about everything. So he's on Rumble.
Right.
But there's some other, what you call, commentators who are allowed to put snippets of what he sees on YouTube.
Right.
YouTube won't let him have a platform.
Oh, it's interesting. They're all free speech and they're like...
Well, this is what he goes on about. You're free speech until you say something we don't like and then we're deplatformed.
Yeah, you know?
But he's having a go at Schumer because he said Schumer did, you know, 40 oh, days and got nothing, etc. And now Schumer's running around trying to pushing forward a bill into Congress and the Senate about anti-Semitism and not allowed to, and be not allowed to say anything against Israel. And he's saying,
"What?
Hang on, free speech. What's going on? You know." So, and that's.
I don't agree with Nick Fraser.
No,
I can't remember who said it. I disagree with what you say, but I defend your right to say it.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be the definition of democracy.
Well, and Americans love that. Yeah, the free speech is a big thing to them.
But it's biased. It's slanted.
Of course,
If it's inconvenient, if you're saying things we don't like, then no.
Well, Israel's been off the table. And, of course, that's what Schumer's trying to... Which will attract even more attention to Fuentes and his crew. America. So they don't call it MAGA. And he's already put out a challenge. He's said to the American people, right, America First is going to tell everyone about each candidate and where they stand and who they're loyal to. He's getting organised. They seem to be quite organised.
I'm almost beginning to think he might be.
I'll let you watch this guy.
It's just unusual because my immediate reaction was, not fascist, no. But these same things that I actually find myself beginning to agree with. Especially about the democracy and free speech and
loyalties. I'll show you one day this week.
I know, it'll come at a price, though. Further down the line, you can end up compromising yourself.
But he's saying what Trump said he was going to do and he didn't.
Yeah.
Because he took Adelson's money. He basically...
Bent the knee, as you say.
Bent the knee. So watch the space on him.
Interesting.
I find it very interesting.
He's talking about...
And the fact he appealed to the left for support.
He said, of course we should look after our people.
Arch enemies, fascism and...
But he's saying, come on this, we need to put America first, we need to stop bending over for other countries. And he's got a big following. And to say, what's interesting, Tucker Carlson, who's huge in America... He's a podcaster and a redneck and all that. And Tucker Carlson got into big trouble because he interviewed him about 3 weeks ago.
Mm.
And America, the airwaves have been full of that. And Carlson's got a lot of bad stuff for it because...
What you're saying, what it is, yeah?
Yeah, because he said, how can you possibly interview someone who's said they like Stalin and Hitler and has a go at the Jews? Well, he doesn't have a go at the Jews. He has a go at the control that the Jews put on the rest of the country.
He's questioning their loyalties. America as opposed to Israel.
And so Tucker Carlson's got it in the neck as well.
Good.
But it's created a big debate, huge debate.
It's a huge turnout.
So this and it's got the Israelis rattled, obviously. They're quite rattled by it all. So, and I say, unfortunately, tragically, pictures of dead children and
still going
dismembered children and of Palestinian kids and no housing and all this hasn't moved the Western world to stop it.
No.
It's to stop the genocide, to stop the carnage.
A proper ceasefire. Meaningful.
Yeah. So maybe from where you would least expect it, maybe it'll be America that opens its eyes.
Well, see, the Security Council had two abstentions, Russia and China, to implement Trump's 20-point plan.
Next stage,
In the meantime, aid, such as it is only trickling into
Gaza. It's all at Israel's decision.
Yeah.
So they decide what goes in
there. They now face winter in appalling conditions.
Yeah.
But it is changing because I talked to a friend yesterday and, always been pretty, they're as bad as each other, they're all like... But he actually said to me yesterday, God, these Israelis, what are they up to? It's not been unnoticed. You can't get away forever.
Loss of life in between, though, before people wake up and say enough's enough.
Going back to the Russian thing where the Russians, the civilians got killed by a Russian missile, the same day, I think 27 Gazans got killed. How did that go on the media?
No, I didn't hear anything.
No. Yeah. Rest my case.
You only hear it from alternative programs.
That's me, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Yeah.
A couple of things is the COVID inquiry in the UK.
Well, we've talked a little bit earlier on. I reckon an estimated 23,000 could have been saved had measures been implemented a week before.
Had been more decisive in the 23,000 people.
230,000 deaths.
Total, wasn't it, in England? And but 23,000 could have been avoided.
Could have been avoided.
Potentially avoided. A lot of people died in the UK.
And is anyone going to be held accountable for this? Directions or non-actions? Yeah.
At least they're having an inquiry.
How much does that cost?
Well, yeah.
And what's going to be, and if they could draw any conclusions, are they going to act on it?
Well, all you hope from inquiries and that is that
they learn from it
and it doesn't happen for the next time.
That's the hope, but it doesn't fill me with abiding confidence.
No, but it just shows you that New Zealand did very well.
Mm.
And anyway, those naysayers about Jacinda Ardern and who was the name of the doctor that they all liked? You know, our response...
Mm.
At the time was world class.
Yeah, but the naysayers have taken control.
I'm still having my shots. I'm had one on this week. I'm number nine.
Number nine.
And I'm just determined not. It's still going round.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's still
going. I know people recently have gone down with it and said, "Well, I'm just going to keep on jabbing it, having it in my arm, and I'll stay out of hospital."
Yeah.
So it's still around,
and it's still free.
And COVID is still,
mutating.
Mutating all over the place.
Yeah, hopefully it's getting weaker, but then you get new strains come through. Because it's not the only COVID strain. Yeah. There's lots of COVID strains.
Yeah.
That's
the thing with viruses.
Of course, now they're waiting for the next big one. There's another one they're anticipating too.
Yeah.
Another one.
Oh, and let's face the chances are, populations, density of population, poverty, inequality.
Disease is rife, isn't it?
So then, of course, food sources.
We can only hope the right government's in place if that eventuates.
Yeah.
Because if this lot had been in during the COVID, the doors would have been open. It would have been open for business and the carnage would have been...
We would have had a far higher difference.
And then we would have had a COVID inquiry in the same respect as UK.
Yeah, we did have one, didn't we?
I think
we did that, but that was apportioning blame.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's what they love. Because
they thought that Labour spent far too much money, blah, blah,
and that's
blah.
Why I just said...
But those same people who complained about Labour also benefited from the government handouts to keep businesses and individuals solvent.
Those ones who supported New Zealand First and National.
The same people.
Yeah.
Who took the money and then, or didn't need it and didn't pay it back.
They gave it back, surely.
I can think of one ACT leader who didn't.
Yeah.
He took it and then was asked, "Well, you didn't need it, are you going to send it back?" No.
Yeah.
He hung on to it.
Yeah. Did he have a business or something? How did he get it?
Some sort of trust.
Okay. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Trust and ACT don't go together, don't they?
Because if he's getting a salary, he doesn't have to pay it back, if he had a business.
But there's a lot of businesses who took it because they thought they needed it. And some did give it back.
Yeah.
But there were others who
hung on to it.
Yeah.
There's still cases in the papers that come up with cases of revolving around COVID handouts and support made under fraudulent conditions.
I saw that
conditions.
In the paper this week.
It still crops up now and again. Yeah, individuals and companies are getting pinged.
A guy got convicted for false information.
Yeah, because we're taxed by the paying for the privilege of prosecuting these people.
It's the Ministry of Social Development that's the investigating.
So that's that. And the other thing I noticed, you know, I talked last week about the Chilean election, presidential elections.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was the lady's name?
Communist.
Her name is Jeanette Jara.
Yeah.
I think she's gone to a second round now.
Yeah, so she was the lead candidate. So she got 27% of the vote. And the next guy who was a right winger, Kaiser, I think he got 23%.
Interesting name.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I know, German, and so did the Irish.
So anyway, so they'll be in the runoff. But of course, most of the other candidates were all right wing. Mm. So she's got an uphill battle to go. She's probably got the maximum votes because most of the other candidates in the runoff were...
But this will be the crunch time, the second round.
Yeah, so
you might have enough,
80% of the voters were right-wing or something. Good so grief. They just split their votes between all the various ones. So she ain't got much of a chance, but good on her for so well, far.
Good on for
and she
Stan.
Might. Hey, maybe the people will see it. So
we'll hope.
Yeah, so no. Mm. So do that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting times. Because remember the right-wing government that dominated Chile for years? Pinochet.
She, who was named after Jara.
Victor Jara, yeah.
The musician who got killed by Pinochet's forces. She was a child whose parents were communists, I think.
Right.
So that's why... But,
okay, that's... Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what happens there, but I suspect...
It's very soon. It's on the 14th, which is a couple of weeks away.
14th of December.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
That's the runoff.
Yeah. What else is out there? We come here with very little information this week, because the news seemed to be dominated by a few little, like the fairy thing.
Well, I don't know much about...
The Epstein stuff.
Yeah.
Well, still... And that's a joke too, isn't it? I mean,
big joke.
The Attorney General, the young woman.
Bondi.
Yes, we're going to follow the law, and provided it doesn't contravene national security, privacy, whole heap of outs. I'm thinking, well, what's going to be left of redacted
content? So they won't have the word.
It'll be redacted.
Black paper with page number three, page number seven. So let me guess, national security, that means Israel won't be mentioned in there at all. That'll be redacted.
But Epstein was a Jew, wasn't he?
Yeah, but okay, just because he's a Jew, he's Israeli.
And he was a Democrat supporter, but he donated quite heavily to the Democrat Party. Not that excuses his behaviour. But there's allegations or inferences that Clinton might have been involved in that circle, just as there's been inferences that Trump was involved in that circle.
They've spoke to Epstein's brother.
Yeah.
And that definitely there was a friendship between Trump and his brother.
The one that really would know, and whether she's been got to already, is Ghislaine Maxwell.
And then she's done all right. She's just been transferred from one prison to another on Trump's orders, and she gets a easy
soft
job.
Run. Yeah. Well, mind you, she is also a child of... she's Maxwell, which was one of the media...
Rupert Maxwell.
If you've done the crime, you do the time. But no, they've transferred to a softer prison.
Why was that?
She would have been someone else, a poor black guy, he would have been stuck in a dungeon.
Yeah. But she'd be the one that, if they really wanted to know, she would be the one who...
Because
she was right... Basically, on top of the bed, basically, by the sounds of it. Yeah.
What did his brother say?
But America's quite fixated by it, which is really interesting, because it's really just, it's probably that sort of thing, wealthy people exploiting pretty young ball girls. It's been going on a long time. But for some reason, and I don't quite understand, whether it's because there's a few famous people caught up in it or whatever.
Well, didn't
but
Trump initially say he was going to release the papers?
Yeah, in the electioneering he was.
And so he's backfired on him. He's whipped up interest because one minute you're going to release and then you're not going to release
And then
him.
He said, nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here, anything more.
His brother, Epstein's brother, said that Trump was a bad man. So that could have a multitude of sins.
But I say it's really fixated America.
Even one of his key supporters, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's changed sides.
She wants
the thing released.
Yeah. Well, she's a part of this America First thing, making noises. So, Thomas Massey.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.